News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
Good morning from Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5 at 8.06 on your Monday morning. Going to be a little misty, maybe a little rainy in spots here today, but then going to clear off. Going to be really, really nice, not just tomorrow, but to slowly warm up. We'll be in the mid-60s by the end of the week, and should have a good weekend as well. Do you have birthday duties this weekend?
Yes. Yeah.
Tell me about that.
We will host our first children's birthday party this weekend. The oldest is turning 3 years old on the 12th, which, if I'm not mistaken, is coming up very soon. What is that, Saturday?
Yeah.
My calendar's not coming up. But yeah, we have a children's birthday party on Saturday, and this is our first time going through it. So we put out invitations and invited a lot of her classmates and ballet mates and asked for RSVPs, and we've been surprised at the low number of RSVPs.
Uh-oh.
And we've been taking that very personally on behalf of our child. But now, as we're getting closer, more and more people are saying, hey, yeah, we're going to come over. So now that that us being upset about no one coming has now turned into panic about how many people
are coming.
Too many
people are coming.
Exactly.
Yeah. Joe Biden's going to show up.
Oh, great. Yeah.
He's going to say, hey, man, you can't have all these people here, man. I think Robert's on the line with us right now. Robert Kennedy for Alabama. As you hear him right here on FM Talk 106.5. And Robert, season 5 is coming up here soon, huh?
Yeah, we're actually really excited about that. We've got some stuff in the hopper that I think the local listeners are really going to enjoy. And maybe expanding a little bit into some areas we haven't been historically. So we'll be making some decisions about that and some announcements about that real soon. With all the things going on in the world, we're going to have a lot of fun doing that.
And Robert, I know as a political analyst and as a former candidate yourself, this time of an election cycle, not just in Alabama but nationally, you've really got to be loving kind of digging into seeing how things are going for so many of these campaigns. And now that we have a pretty good idea here in Alabama who's running in what race, this is almost, I don't know, would this be considered preseason or training camp? We've got the primaries around the corner. I'm sure you're digging in to see how some of these races may turn out.
You know, it's interesting because we think about it in two parts, right? So we think about the run-up to the primary and then what actually happens during the general election season. And we were having a conversation just last night. If you recall, 2 years ago, we hosted an on-air debate in collaboration with our friends from WKRG News 5.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that was the first on-air congressional debate on the Democratic side that had happened here in the year.
Wow.
So just being able to reflect on that and seeing where we started, you know, oh so long ago, and thinking about what we can do, you know, this year in the primary season and then ultimately going into the general election, it is definitely an exciting time.
So Dalton was talking about preseason or training camp or whatever you want to, kind of those are often football terms. So let's turn our attention to this Brian Flores suit against the NFL. Also the Rooney rule as well. I'm sure you've got a lot of thoughts on, you know, all of this. Former Miami Dolphins coach Brian Flores filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL and its teams last week, accusing them of sham interviews, incentivizing losses, and pressure to improperly recruit players. The league and three of the teams involved, the Dolphins, the Giants, and the Broncos, denied the allegations in short order, leaving, now, where are we with this? And I can see that Brian Flores is a very disgruntled coaching candidate and fired coach. But is there actually a racial component that you can see in all of this?
You know, it's actually interesting. You use the word disgruntled. And that actually is something that I want to start.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of challenging sometimes to deal with the assumption that because someone feels as though they've been wronged, that they're actually disgruntled and that there's not actually a larger issue that needs to be addressed. But having said that, you know, there are really kind of three components to what's going on here. There's the firing, there is the hiring process, and then there's this, the one that I really think's got the NFL up in arms, but the notion of tanking so that you can improve your draft status.
Right.
Let me ask you this question. Take the hiring and firing out of it for a second. Do you guys think that there's any chance whatsoever that at some point in time somebody somewhere decided that they might not put in their best efforts to go up higher in the draft.
No doubt. Yeah, I think that's definitely happened, and that's something the league would never want to admit to, with the millions and millions, I guess billions of dollars in gambling that's out there for them to take in. But yeah, that's certainly happened. And then
I was saying that changes everything.
Yeah,
and you look
in and of it. That in and of itself, I don't think is tied to a racial component.
Right.
Right. Because at the end of the day, there's either going to be proof that that happened or there's not going to be proof that that happened.
Yeah. And Robert, when I say disgruntled, I don't mean to imply there's not reason to be disgruntled. He seems like he is ticked off and he is legitimately upset about the you know, everything we just talked about, including the process and what he perceives to be sham interviews.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I was giving you a little bit of grief there, Dan, but most of that's tongue in cheek, right?
Don't
read too deeply into that.
Okay.
But as we go into the other issues, let's start first of all with the issue of firing. So when you look at what head coaches are typically evaluated on, mm-hmm. is they're normally evaluated on wins and losses. So if you have a team that is improving over time, that's going from a losing record to a winning record, very, very rarely are those coaches let go. Now, if you have a coach in the SEC, for example, that's going from a winning record to a losing record, and even if they still have an overall winning record, sure, those coaches have a tendency to be relieved. But what happened with Brian Flores virtually never happened,
right?
Especially at the professional level. And so if you look at that in isolation and you start to go back historically through the number of head coaches who would have been fired in that situation, what you'll find is you'll find that the numbers over-index with the African-American head coaches.
Hmm.
And so if nothing else, you have to be willing to ask the question why that's the case. And I think doing some investigations into that is definitely warranted.
Yeah, and you look at two of the firings from this offseason alone, Robert, and let me preface all this by saying Goodell, the commissioner, did come out this weekend or late last week. He said that the results regarding the Rooney Rule and hiring minority candidates, he said they've been unacceptable. But I think those two main firings that were involving black coaches this offseason, Flores in Miami and Culley out of Houston, I mean, they gave Culley one year, and he didn't have one of the best players in the league in Deshaun Watson at his disposal over the year.
Sure.
I think both of those terribly run organizations, bad firings, and Flores, you know, he won 8 in a row this year. He also lost 7 in a row. But for me, it's, mm-hmm. and I hope you can, I don't know, maybe change my mind. I just don't understand how in a league where this much money is on the line and it's all about one thing, and that one thing is winning. Well, I should say it's about two things: entertainment above all, and then beyond sure. that, winning for these teams. I don't understand how race plays such a factor in hiring if that's actually the case. Wouldn't these teams with millions and millions and millions of dollars on the line for each win and loss, wouldn't they just want to hire the best person available? I don't understand how someone at that level... How, I understand the accusations of racism, but I don't understand how someone at that level would be making their decision based off race when it really just comes down to the W's and the L's, right?
Sure. But let me just offer you something to think about here. So let's talk about this in terms of extremes. So one extreme would say that race doesn't matter at all, that it's 100% a pure meritocracy. And if that were the case, and it was solely based upon wins and losses, as you look at the group of people who are most likely to be selected for those roles, those would probably be your offensive coordinators for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
And you were to look at the performance of the offensive coordinators in terms of where their teams landed in the playoffs, that if what you said was true and there were no racial components whatsoever, then folks like Eric Bieniemy, mm-hmm. folks like Brian Leftwich, folks like Jim Caldwell, and even Brian Flores, sans having filed the lawsuit, because that's going to have some negative implications on his hiring or on his hireability, you would naturally have expected them to get pulled off the board quicker than some of the other folks who got hired this last hiring cycle. So you end up, if you went with that extreme, you kind of end up putting yourself in a box because something other than the numbers are at play.
Hmm.
And that's when you start getting into the soft skills, the relationship, the comfort level. And now that pendulum starts to swing back in the other direction, in which race may not be the only factor. But when you start looking at life experience, connectivity, how you feel, comfort level, those things start to come in play as well. And there is the area where we believe race is a component.
And you know, race and sports in America have been tied at the hip forever. And long as it took to integrate so many of these sports, there's, of course, you know, valid accusations over the years of racism. What I'm wondering, is the quota system the way to fix this? This Rooney Rule saying that they need to interview a minority candidate each time. If they do hire a minority coach, these teams get extra draft picks. There's like incentive to not only interview but hire quote-unquote minority coaches. But is that the way to get to improve this system, having a quota system? Because to me, and I've never been in that position, obviously.
Sure.
But if you're just filling that quota, isn't that like another level of kind of offensiveness to some of these guys and girls?
Sure. There are actually two flaws, I think, in the way that you presented that question.
Uh-huh.
But I have to grant something historically that I don't think we've ever talked about. So in the initial days of affirmative action, when quotas were considered legal, there was situations where people believed that unqualified individuals were filling those quota spots. And because it was a hard rule, there was no way to prove or disprove that. So as a result, affirmative action collectively got a bad name within the majority. Now, as I cycle back to what it was that you were asking this time, the assumption is that if rules are put in place, that the folks who are the best talent who do not get an opportunity today would somehow not be the best talent tomorrow. And so when you tie that to what I talked about initially, you talk about the offense coordinator at Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and what he did in terms of taking the team to a Super Bowl. You talk about what Byron Leftwich did down in Tampa, taking the team to a Super Bowl. It's like if those individuals get an opportunity now, it doesn't make them less qualified because they have the underlying skills to do the work, and their records demonstrate that fact. What you don't want to have happen is what Brian Flores is accusing essentially Bill Belichick of, having some sort of undue influence to the point of knowing who is going to get hired before he got interviewed.
Right.
And so I think there's a huge gulf between trying to make sure that type of off-the-record collusion prevents someone from getting an honest take and saying, hey, you have somebody who's qualified who's not going to get hired because you have to, you know, fill a minority spot.
One quick thing here, Robert, before we could talk on this for a long time, but it looks like this has been a conversation point among the minority coaches for a long time. And
sure.
and Flores just kind of blew the lid off it. So this is I guess what I'm saying is this is nothing new. It's just been totally exposed.
So Dalton had referenced this earlier, and he talked about the historical separation that existed racially in competitive sports and how over time that changed so that the numbers are, I guess in the case of the NBA and the NFL, about 65-70% African-American or black.
Mm-hmm.
And so if that's the pool of professional athletes, the fact that the random number generator doesn't apply, but if you're applying the random number generator to it, you would expect the numbers in the NFL at a minimum to be closer to the numbers that are in the NBA.
Right.
And I think in the NBA, you're somewhere between 40-45%. You can make the argument that they should be higher than that. And so at the end of the day, I don't think it's as much about saying, hey, NFL collectively has to hire X number of African-American coaches. I think we need to do some soul searching and really understand what goes into determining whether or not a person is qualified, and then making sure that the qualified individuals get an honest attempt to be able to present their skills. And that's how you end up changing this thing over time and moving forward without necessarily having the backlash that comes with something like a hard quota system.
Robert, thanks for your time this morning. We certainly appreciate it and your point of view on all this, and we'll talk another time.
All right, you guys take care and stay dry.
Thanks, Robert.
Yeah, stay dry. little chance of rain today. Interesting conversation. Your text on the text line about what we had to say, what Robert had to say. Certainly welcome at 251-343-0106. We're 20 minutes after 8 o'clock on FM Talk 106.5. Probably we're usually pretty sensitive to storms affecting neighbors and neighboring states.
Yep.
But I wasn't really aware of this. This is not good. You know, we send people when it's hurricanes and things like that, right? Tropical
right.
storms.
Our power line crews.
Yeah, power line crews and all that. Power outages impacted about 250,000 Memphis light, gas, and water customers. Think about that. The utility in Memphis is all one entity.
Mm.
So if you've got problems in light,
yeah.
you know, electricity, gas, and water. I don't know how efficient that would be, but I don't
They all run, the same utility runs all of those?
Yeah.
Wow.
And so anyway, they had all these people, and things are improving, but not as quickly as customers would like. And this is Memphis Light, Gas, and Water CEO JT Young talking about that right now.
This storm, in relative to others, I may have mentioned this yesterday, is about the third largest impact that we have had at MLGW in decades.
In decades.
Wow.
Also, there was a statement by somebody in Texas talking about how bad that ice was. Well, just last year they had the cataclysmic situation
yeah.
with ice in Texas as well. So anyway, a long way from getting it all done in Memphis.
How's the pyramid, though? The Bass Pro Shop pyramid. Is it fine?
It's doing really, really well.
Good. Good to hear.
They got it on a generator.
Looking at the text line here. All right. Alabama Al with the text of the morning so far. He says, so we can't build new cars to sell. The new car lots are empty. We can't get computer chips from China. And yet some of us are watching China every day on TV showing off their Olympic Games. We used to make our own chips, but exported that technology and jobs to China. What's wrong with this picture? And Al, I understand. I think what they said, some 80% of these chips are made in Taiwan, which is a big, big Jenga block in this international yeah,
cheap,
conflict that we have going on right
cheap
now.
Cheap labor.
Exactly. And then China, of course, wants to take Taiwan. What would happen if they held all those chips? But a greater issue is what's going on with China and Russia as they kind of start to work even closer together on this Ukraine business. China said they're going to prop Russia up if we hit them too hard with these tariffs. You have these. You have COVID, which is still yet to be truly investigated, how exactly that came out of the lab, or how was it intentional? Was it accidental? All of this is going on, and it seems like us Americans just can't get out of our own way. I mean, on the international, I think the best thing to show you what's going on in China and the rest of the world compared to what's going on here in America, TikTok, this number one social media app. I think they said it even did better numbers than Google last year, TikTok. And it's a social media app out of China. So we know about these algorithms that they've developed over the years with social media, and that if you like one thing a lot, it'll keep showing you that more. Like, for instance, my wife, she sees a lot of parenting videos.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of fighting videos. Mm-hmm. That's just the difference. You know, I watch gruesome, gory stuff.
Oh,
she watches.
I thought it was parents fighting.
No.
I wouldn't seek those out.
Sports videos come up to me. So they reward you based on what
your
watching.
History. Right.
Well, in China, their algorithm system makes their social media show their kids educational videos. It incentivizes them to go to school and learn and be a good citizen. And, you know, this is all done under communism,
mm-hmm.
which obviously I hate. I love freedom. But they're using those same algorithms to dumb our kids down, make them feel terrible about how they look, create, you know, just these mental issues in our generation of children.
Yeah, a country with massive anxiety.
So as China takes over the world, we're sitting here arguing about Azalea Trail Maids,
mm-hmm.
What color the coaches are in the NFL,
mm-hmm.
Who's a boy, who's a girl. It's, you know, you take a step back and look, and it's like, what are we doing? We're kind of toiling here as China continues to grow, and as Russia continues to literally grow.
And of course, the smart people at the top of the business world, so short-sighted.
Yeah.
You know?
All about that profit.
For the buck, today, what does it mean for tomorrow? Now we're seeing that. 830 FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, 1035 FM Talk 106.5. You're listening to Mobile Mornings on a Monday. Jeff Porcheau on the way in about a half an hour. Right now it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louis Arata. Hey, Louis.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Hey, doing great here at FM Talk 106.5. What's happening on the lot at McConnell? We got a nice week ahead of us.
We got a nice week ahead of us. We're getting everything going up front, trying to get a few through detail. Y'all check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com. I just got back. We're got a few trucks in. Got some nice GMC Sierra sitting over there, brand new. If y'all want to do that, give us a call, 251-476-4141. If you're looking for that new truck, ask for somebody in the new car department. They can tell you what we got coming in if we don't have the right color or the right equipment. And I'm sitting there looking at probably 20 trucks sitting out front, brand new. So we're getting a few things in. We're getting a bunch of trades in. Like I said, you can check those out. We're writing them up, get them in service at McConnellAutomotive.com. And, you know, it's going to be slick today. Hope everybody be careful out there. And if you have that unfortunate wreck, don't forget McConnell Collision, greatest body shop in Mobile. Give them a call back there, 251-476-4141.
Now, got a lot going on. Thanks for the time, Louie.
Thank you.
Louis Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65, and also online, McConnellAutomotive.com.
All right, so what's happening now with Russia and Ukraine and us? Well, I know that a few dozen elite U.S. troops and equipment were seen landing yesterday in southeastern Poland near the border with Ukraine, following President Joe Biden's orders to deploy 1,700 soldiers there amid fears of a Russian invasion of Ukraine. This is Jake Sullivan from the Biden administration yesterday.
If they choose to go down the path of escalation instead, it will come at enormous human cost to Ukrainians, but it will also, we believe, over time, come at real strategic cost to Vladimir Putin.
Okay. The collective response by NATO members is the best response to a threat, the only method of assuring security to Poland and other NATO countries. On the alliance's eastern flank. This was, I believe, the president of Poland had that to say yesterday. So he's talking about NATO and a team effort.
Have you felt any momentum or, you know, appetite in the slightest from the American people to be involved in this?
No.
I haven't. No. Not one bit.
No, it's a constant drumbeat from the administration, whoever takes the mic, of this. We got to be ready. We got to be ready. And, you know, look, they know more than I do, but I'm not sure that their messaging is genuine.
Right.
Are you?
No. Well, it's so hard to tell. I mean, you've been lied to about many things, or I should say misinformationed about many things over the last. Well, we know there's been things that have been falsely said since the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, starting with the masks. And I think that's really shifted a lot of views from American people. But then you look at Afghanistan, 20 years there, and what do we have to show for it now? I think maybe that is making this more difficult than anything. After leaving there after 20 years and then leaving so many of our allies and our own American citizens in the lurch that we left them in Afghanistan, I don't think the American people trust our leadership in putting us into any more situations like this, which that's not a good thing, right? You need to have full trust in whoever's sending you. But, of course, we've had many questionable wars over the last 100 years. You know?
Well, and Robert Kennedy, when we were talking about the Rooney Rule and the coaches being fired and hired and all that sort of stuff, that, in the NFL, he said, you know, it comes down to wins and losses. Where has this administration in 1 year's time provided the win? What have they done where you can look at it and you can circle it and say, okay,
right,
they got that right. I'm just not on a conservative-leaning radio station picking at Biden. I'm just saying, where are the wins?
Where's the win?
And why would we have confidence?
And we talked about China in that last segment. I think a lot of people are seeing this with Russia and you're wondering why. I mean, to bring it back to another sports analogy, you have the Auburn Tigers, number one in the nation, right? And Kentucky is the second-best SEC team right now. They're ranked fifth. This would be like a team going out and telling Kentucky they're ready to play them. They're ready to fight. When you have number one that's right there,
right.
We're not talking much about war with China. If anything, we're kind of hiding some of their atrocities and not speaking about them.
What's the story on the guy that lit the flame?
So, you know, China, 08 was their big Olympics coming out party. where they, in Beijing back in 2008, that was to show the world that they can maybe if not compete equally with the United States and other huge powers, that they were soon going to be ready to do so. And this, the vibe around this year's Olympics is a lot different, but it's more like China saying, yeah, we can do what we want, when we want, and how we want. And NBC's going right along with it, other than Bob Costas kind of speaking out a little bit. A lot of these major corporate, you know, the Coca-Colas, the sponsors of these Olympics, who had a whole lot to say about voting rights in Georgia, have nothing to say about what's going on in China. So as kind of a to show everyone that they're not committing genocide, they decided for the final torchbearer of the Olympics flame to be a Uyghur Muslim who I think competes on their cross-country skiing team or something like that. Anyway,
oh, he's an athlete.
I believe so. Wow. I believe so. And so after they had this person carry the flame, I was reading a headline. They're like, no one knows where that person is now. Like, he's kind of just disappeared. I don't know if they were expecting him to play a central role in this entire Olympics thing. I haven't, to be honest with you, I haven't watched a second of the Olympics.
I haven't either. And I've struggled to find things to watch, really.
Yeah.
Watching more stuff on YouTube and Netflix and stuff like that rather than live TV. And it really had, I don't think I'm protesting necessarily. It's almost just, I don't have an interest in it. Maybe patriotically I should support our athletes that are over there. The Winter Olympics don't normally really do it for me anyway. You know what I mean?
Compared to the Summer Olympics.
Yeah, these sports that we really don't understand as well.
And it's all about drama, right? There hasn't been a buildup of any particular athlete's story. They could be doing a huge number on Shaun White, one of the greatest Olympians ever, mm-hmm. in both the Winter and Summer Olympics.
Right.
This is his last go around. You know, there could be a big thing about him, but there's no entertainment value, it seems, in the Olympics. They haven't really set up any big dramatic events, so I think their numbers will continue to drop. Brandon says, I wonder, have you guys heard about the backlash, the U.S.-born skater whose parents were born in China, who decided to compete for China, is facing from China. She didn't do so well, and the Chinese are roasting her on Weibo. That's the Chinese social media site. We talked about the three, I'll call them turncoats, the three Americans who were competing for China. She, at least, was half Chinese. Mm-hmm. The two hockey players who joined Team China, as far as I know, have zero Chinese blood or anything.
But I've seen that in the summer games when is baseball still part of the Olympics as it was for a few years? Anyway, you'd have some guy, a minor leaguer from Brooklyn who was Italian.
Right. And if they can get some sort of waiver to compete, get in where you fit in, right?
Exactly. His grandma was from Sicily, and he would be playing for the Joey Vischetti. Who is this guy?
I think the difference is, if you compete on the Italian team, everyone's like, well, he was just trying to get on the Olympics, get into the Olympics. But if you're going to compete for China, mm-hmm. who's like the number one adversary, it raises some extra questions.
Right, right.
But, the Chinese figure skater apparently had a terrible outing. I don't know if this was last night or earlier yesterday, and the Chinese not very excited that she's on their team, apparently, because she did not have a good go-around.
So she's an American that was doing the turncoat thing?
Exactly. I don't know. We'll see if – I'd love to hear from you whether you guys are checking out the Olympics this year. Doesn't Have Meta says parenting and fighting videos are best together. I agree with that. Matt.
That was my idea.
Matt says, our kids' friends did not RSVP until the day before the party. Yeah, that's what we're dealing with now in the Orwig household. Our first, party that we're putting together for one of our kids and waiting on the RSVP. So my wife's freaking out. She doesn't know how much cake to get.
Have young parents lost their Southern decorum? I mean, that's heavens, Dalton.
Seriously.
They haven't RSVP'd yet, and maybe that's just kind of a lost skill or a lost understanding of what you need to do.
I think there's just so much going on, especially in young parents' lives. They truly do not know where they're going to be 12 hours from now.
That's
so
right.
Probably just waiting it out.
And if you've had this run of very poor health in your household, you're probably not the only one.
Yeah, they're probably all sick too. Hey, this is a worker's economy right now. If you can't get hired in this economy, I mean, so many people are looking for work, and I want to make it really easy for you. If you're looking for a new job, maybe you're taking a step up, righttoworkusa.com will help you find that job. It's a job search network. Now, they're actually stationed here in Mobile, the home office, but they provide jobs throughout the entirety of the United States. Their website is so easy to navigate. You can see on a map where jobs are available, so you can like see how close they are to your home or wherever you want that job to be. And that map has a description of what those jobs have to offer. Hundreds of qualified jobs are there for you to choose from. You can search by location, category, job type, experience, and it's very easy to upload your resume. So check out righttoworkusa.com and find the right place to work for you. Coming up, Tobias McCormick and Comer. Desi Tobias is joining us here in studio in just a few minutes. Welcome back to Mobile Mornings, FM Talk 106.5. I'm Dalton Orwig, and a pleasure to be joined again by Desi Tobias with the local law firm Tobias McCormick & Comer. Desi, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you, Dalton. Good to see you again.
So I'm learning new stuff. Once again, every time you come into the studio, I'm learning something new. And I've always wondered, you know, if I get into an accident with someone else and that person flees the scene, or if they don't have insurance, you know, what happens next? I've thought about that, and you have a bit of an answer here in uninsured motorist coverage. Tell me, what is uninsured motorist coverage?
Uninsured motorist coverage is provided by law in Alabama. There's a statute that requires it to be in every policy of automobile liability insurance. And what that does is it provides coverage in the event that you're injured by a motor vehicle that has no insurance or does not have enough insurance. And that is broadly applied. It could be if there's a hit and run, that's still an injury, somebody you don't even know, still an injury by an uninsured motor vehicle. It could be if you're a pedestrian, you're still hit and injured by a uninsured or underinsured motor vehicle. It provides additional coverage to whatever is already existing from the other side's liability insurance to cover your bodily injuries.
And the law is, well, I don't know if the law is handled differently in Alabama, but Alabama certainly goes about this a different way than a lot of states.
Well, Alabama's statute requires it to be in every policy. And the law is strictly construed. The policy of insurance that's issued in Alabama has to comply with the statute. So it has to be there in that form unless you reject it. And it's something that you shouldn't reject. It's generally a very cheap coverage. It's not that expensive. And you have to explicitly reject it in writing, or else it's going to be in that policy of insurance.
So if you don't have that coverage, if you waive it in writing, like you said, and something like this happens to you, then I guess you're kind of, lost, right?
You are lost. In the instance of a phantom vehicle who you don't even know who they are, you're not covered. The other person may have no insurance, or they can comply with the law and only have $25 or $25,000 in liability insurance, the minimum limits, and you could have catastrophic injuries. So certainly look at your policy. There's something on every declarations page. It has a U, and that's generally what tells you what your uninsured motorist limits are, the U down at the bottom of it. So look at that. Make sure you have it. I would talk to your agent or your insurer and ask them, how much can I get? Because it's generally inexpensive compared to the benefit it could provide in a situation like that.
If you're just tuning in, talking with Desi Tobias with Tobias McCormick & Comer. And at TMC, you guys have a ton of experience working cases that range, you know, all kinds of different situations that you've seen. And I'm sure you've worked cases that involve uninsured motorist coverage. Tell me about one or a couple of those.
Yeah, we've done a number of them through the years. We've just recently had one where somebody was riding riding a bicycle, badly injured, mm-hmm. and thankfully she had sufficient coverage to cover in excess of what the other driver had. There's a real interesting case. It was a phantom vehicle case. Somebody was driving on I-10 and two cars were racing. He was in a cylinder truck, our client was. He was coming home from work after a long day. Those cars forced him off one side of the road, then he went off the other and couldn't even be seen from the highway. There was a good Samaritan who happened to see it, and she called 911 and kept her eyes right where that happened. He may not have been found until the next day. A very violent collision. He was ejected from his vehicle, but his employer had uninsured motorist coverage, and that applied. He also had his own coverage on his vehicles, and they covered it even though he was in his employer's vehicle. And we ultimately had to try that case. The other side contended that perhaps he just fell asleep. There was that was their version. So thankfully the jury saw it our way.
Yeah. Wow. And every time you tell me about a case that you've worked at Tobias McCormick and Comer, I'm just picturing it's so personal for every single person that comes to you looking for help. I mean, that happened to them or someone they know or love. And it's so important that your representative, in this case, you or someone else at Tobias McCormick and Comer, you want them to take that same passion that they have and help them out. And I know you guys do that at TMC, and it's clear just from the knowledge you've displayed on this uninsured motorist coverage, which I knew nothing about until you came in here. You guys really study down on these things.
Yeah, thank you. We do. Whatever the case may be, we do other types, product liability cases. We do maritime work. We do general injury cases. But we like to know a lot about the law. We give it all we have to our clients. We want to do the best we can, and we take it very seriously.
So someone out there that, to kind of recap, if they're going out to buy car insurance, or maybe they're thinking they need to call their coverage, call the people that cover them today and make sure that they have it. How does that work with the family? If you have multiple vehicles, uninsured motorist coverage, you need to ask and make sure you have it, right?
That's correct. You need to make sure you have it. The law, which the policies must comply with, says that you have a separate limit for each policy or each automobile on the policy. Okay. So if you have three vehicles, up to three, it stacks. So, and that gets a little confusing, but the point is that unless you reject it and you're going to have that coverage, and you should just call them to see you got it, that you got as much as you possibly can.
Well, something like that could happen when anyone is least aware. So it's great that you're bringing this to our attention. If all of this sounds too familiar to someone listening out there and they want to call Tobias McCormick and Comer and see if they have a case, or maybe it's something entirely different that they that they've experienced an injury doing, or a product they've gotten that didn't work the right way and left someone injured, how do they call and ask you and get a get a free consultation?
Yeah, sure. Call us at 251-432-5001.
And the website is great, too. I've got to tell you, I just watched a video earlier. You and Brian Comer just loaded one up talking about this on your YouTube page. I loved that. But the website has all kinds of great information as well.
Correct. TMClawyers.com.
Very cool. Well, thank you so much for coming in this morning, Desi. Always enjoy when you come into Mobile Mornings, and really appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to see you again, Dalton.
Good to see you. That's Desi Tobias with the law firm Tobias McCormick & Comer. And that does it for today's episode of Mobile Mornings. Coming up, the Jeff Poor Show in just a few minutes. Stay tuned right here on FM Talk 106.5.
No representation is made that legal services performed are greater than the quality of legal services of others.